everyone. Little do you podcast listeners know, this is take two. This is the first time I've had to like restart. I normally have a no edit, no anything policy, but my computer would not work, wouldn't give sound to the viewers, so you don't need to know any of that. I'm back now. Just saying it for the viewers' sake, because they need to hear me repeat it, because they, you know, they need that comfort. I have to explain this again really quickly. Anyone who's not on my Facebook will not know this, but this, I read the reading for this. We're finishing the last chapter of 2 Kings, which sucks. But it is at least like a story. It's at least text. I guess I'll take off my glasses because they're all glary. Sorry for, can't see anything. Can't read. I'm just gonna have to make up the Bible. But then I started the first two books of, or sorry, first two chapters of the next book, and it's just names. It's literally just a genealogy. So I decided that I could do, is it too much volume? I can turn it down. I decided that I rather than just do a 5-minute episode, which is about what it would be, although I always talk forever, so you know, might be 10 minutes. But anyway, I invited people to get on the Ustream and contribute, ask questions, and that'll be after I finish this chapter here. And so thanks for everyone who's on now. Looks like it worked. Got some people on there. That's all I need. We can chat. I have my cat with me. He's under the bed. Or no, he's at my feet now. He'll find a way to ruin the show. He always does. So let's just do our 2 Kings thing now. Yeah, I was trying to think of any plugs or anything. Yeah, get on the Facebook, get on the Twitter. I love Twitter. I'm tweeting all day. Not really all day, but I'm doing several tweets a day. Twitter.com, or no, I don't need to do that. Facebook.com/TNTheB. Twitter is @TNTheB. So there you go. Real easy. Real easy. So no excuses, you listeners, because I have a lot more listeners than I do followers. So come on. What's going on there? Come on, guys. I ask so little. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I ask a lot. 1/10 of all your income too, by the way. Just send me that. Just another thing. While you're following the Facebook, just give me 1/10 of all your income. No big deal. Just, yeah, pass it on over. So let's do 2 Kings 25. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, the ship in the Matrix, also the king of Babylon. He's also that. I don't know which one they're talking about. They're probably talking about the ship from the Matrix, but it could be the king. I don't know. He and all his host against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts round about. This, who cares, by the way? We're just finishing out this terrible, terrible book. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of the king Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night, by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Parentheses, now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his armies were scattered from him. So they took the king, and brought him to the king of Babylon and Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. They're like, you look terrible in that outfit. The other day, I was trying to tell him about these are judgments that they gave the king. Everyone just stood around and judged him. Do you even tweeze your eyebrows, bro? And then one guy's like, the other day I was talking to him and I was trying to tell him about my day, you know, and he wasn't listening. He's one of those guys like, oh yeah, okay, pretends he's listening. He wasn't listening. So that's what they did. Everybody kind of did that around the king. And he's like, all right, enough with it. And let's see. Bound him with fetters. Okay, so they just imprisoned this king. Oh, I got a cat at my feet. And in the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, which is the 19th year, who cares, Nebuchadnezzar, the spaceship in the Matrix. I guess it's not a spaceship, is it? It's just a ship thing. Because they're like in the center of the earth. I never thought about that. What is it? Do they fly in there? I don't remember. Are they underwater? Is it a submarine? Because they're like in the earth in the Matrix. These are questions I need answered. The Nebuchadnezzar. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and every great man's house he burnt with fire. and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left the poor and of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brass and sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. I'm sorry, I'm trying to care about this chapter, but we're almost done with 2 Kings. I just see the finish line. You know, I don't have a hard time even caring about what's happening. Nothing's happening. Somebody captured a king. Yeah, it's the same as this entire book, just nothing. The pots and shovels, the numbers, vessel, they took everything. They took everything, but they left the poor people. They're like, yeah, you guys are fine. Just hang out. Yeah, you're fine. We don't need you. You know. And the fire, and you had to be a little insulted. Like, oh, what? I'm not good enough for you to murder and, you know, rape? Like, come on. Yeah, I know. Just thinking about that. They're not in space. It's like a ship that flies. But it flies, right? I can almost see it. They're like in these big tunnels, which I don't know why those tunnels aren't collapsing under the enormous pressure. Yeah, it's interesting. I never thought about that. I don't know why. I love the first Matrix. The rest are obviously terrible. But I don't know if the first Matrix is still good. It's been the other matrices kind of ruined it. Anyway, and the fire pans and the bowls and such things were gold. Yeah, they took all the gold. The two pillars... I took some stuff. Excuse me. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits. I had a margarita just earlier, so, you know, it's prep for this show. So it's not a great thing to drink before you're talking. I don't know. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapiter on it was brass, and the height of the chapiter 3 cubits, and the wreathen work, and pomegranates upon the chapiter roundabout, all of brass. This doesn't matter. Who thought this mattered? What human being thought any of this mattered? The captain of the guard took Sariah, the chief of priests, and the second priest, and 3 keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. Like 2/3 of the way done with this stupid chapter. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, spaceship of Matrix, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Anakam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. And when all the captains... Yeah, I agree, man. It doesn't... I'll tell you what. The Bible doesn't make any less sense when you're drunk. I'll put it to you that way. It doesn't make any less sense. I don't know if it makes more sense, but it's even-ish. Also, anyone tell me what happened in the hockey game, by the way. I had to leave it. They went to overtime. So if anyone's watching that, which would be, that's what I would recommend rather than watching the show. And when all the captains of the armies, almost done, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nathanael, to Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumeth, the Nephthalite, and some other people, some people. And Gedaliah swore to them, to their men, and said unto them, fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in their land, and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass, in the 7th month, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, the seed royal, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah, that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies, arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th, just say January 23rd, I don't know, of the month, that Evil Merodach, Well, that should have been your first hint. Hey guys, should we elect King Evil Merodach, or who should I vote for? Evil, it's literally evil. Merodach. Evil Merodach. Should we vote for Evil Merodach, or should I vote for Steve? Evil Merodach is going to be king. I don't know. I mean, both their policies are comparable. You know, I'm leaning toward Evil Merodach. That's a weird one. You begin. I guess I don't know what his real name in that. How? And I don't know in the original language what his name was, but how did it become Evil Merodach? That's what I want to know. He began to reign. He lifted up the head. Okay, so this king, basically, all that happened is the king's in prison. Some stuff happened. His people were scared, and in the end, the king of Babylon lets him go. He spake kindly unto him and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day. That's nothing. So nothing happened. This ended. This ended more unsatisfactorily than Sopranos. Like, it just nothing happens. That's the end of that. Okay, so now we're on Chronicles. Yeah, I'm leaving toward Evil Merodach. Sounds like a good candidate, you know. I know nothing about his fiscal policy, but I just something makes me like him. Evil Merodach. So we're on First Chronicles now, and chapter one. We're supposed to go through chapter two. Chapter one literally starts. Breadstick says, "Evil Merodach 2014." That's funny. Doesn't really make sense. Shouldn't it be 2016? Are we voting? This is a gubernatorial election or something. That was funny though. Yeah, it just starts. Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, like it's just names. So it's just nothing. I'm not reading all these names. So the first thing I want to say, and you guys feel free to, okay, so start, so type in anything you want to talk about, any questions. I'll grab my cat. But just about because there's a delay, because like I get your messages really late. So while you're typing in messages, or if you are, I will start talking about this. So it just ends with nothing. It's just, those two chapters are entirely just names. And so I was just going to say, and it's, I say this stuff all the time, but who thinks this is a good idea? Like who thinks we need to know all these names, you know? I think that I remember reading somewhere that they make sure that the genealogy so that they make sure to do it so that Jesus is a descendant of David, you know, which like so if he weren't, then no religion, like it wouldn't be valid. He has to be. I think they did that because he needed to be part of the covenant or something. Remember reading that? And it's just, I guess that's what this is about. You just have to have these genealogies. But like, who thinks this is important enough to be, oh, okay. Breadsticks is Australian. So, that's why he made the 2014 joke. I gotcha. He's the lesser of two evils. Yeah. So the other guy is evil, like super evil Merodach. It's evil Merodach versus super evil Merodach. I'm gonna live over the lesser of two evils, or just two guys named Evil Merodach, but one's like fatter. And like I'm gonna go for the other one, just less. All right, I gotta hunt down that cat. I promised he'd be a guest cat, but he's confined to a smaller space this time. But anyway, yeah, who in their right mind thinks it's a good idea to write down names like we need to read this? And who goes? Were there people who went all the through these names? Like, yeah, oh yes. Let's see. Oh yes, Attai begat Nathan. Yeah. Nathan begat. So it's just first names. We have no proof of this. We just wrote a book that said like Steve begat Will. Will begat David. David begat John. John. It's like I'm just making that up. What does it matter? I can just. It's pretty easy to just make stuff up, make names up. Where's that cat? Okay, I'm gonna hunt down the cat.
Real quick. Boy, come here, boy. Oh, he made it easy for me. All right, I'm coming. Here he is. Here he is. Ah, look at him. Podcast listeners, can you hear him?
I know someone said they hated my cat, and I did stop doing the cat because it does distract. But this is a special. This is a special episode. This is an episode where anything goes. Anything meows. Come on, cat, meow. You are the cat's meow. Come on, here we go. Meow. Okay, well, here's some cat. For any of y'all cat lovers out there. Oh, he's so cute. Okay, so first topic, Mr. Cat. And why he's the worst. So what did he do? See, the other day he ate some yeah, no, I know, Lee. I know that you all just want the cat. I know. I think everyone started listening to the show expecting that there would someday be a cat. You went through two or three books of the Bible and I'm like, man, the only reason I keep listening to this podcast is because someday there will be a cat on it. Yeah, I know you all just want me for my cat. Oh, look at him. Look at him. He's so pretty. I hate him as much as I love him. I won't say it's a love-hate relationship. It's more like a hate-love relationship. Nah, it doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's hard. I don't even want to put it in that way. That sounds too casual. Like, oh, it's a love-hate relationship. It's not that. It's like, I hate this cat, but I also just passionately love this cat. Yes, I do. Oh, look at him. He's the worst. So he, let's see, he got into my girlfriend's purse. She left it out, she left some crackers in there. Bad idea. Because I guess he was hungry and he just chewed the shit out of the cracker. There's everywhere. This pack of crackers. Like, the cat can't just calmly, okay, if he's going to, I got to put him down, he's heavy. If he's going to eat some crackers, like, he can't just calmly open the package and say like, like with his little paws and like, I'm going to eat, cracker. Like, that's already bad enough. He's eating our crackers. That's already bad. No, he has to I don't even know that he actually ate any of them. They're just everywhere. You know, like, just have a cracker, boy. You want a cracker? I'll give you a cracker. Huh? You don't have to, he like massacred it. So there's this just cracker, just dust everywhere. You know, it's like, you want a cracker? I'll give you a cracker. I'll put some peanut butter on it or something. I don't know. Is that something you'd like? Look, we need communication here, Mr. Cat. Now he's under the bed hiding. So let's see, what can we talk about? It seems as though you guys are just kind of hanging out. I'm losing viewers left and right. No, not really. Yeah, no, there's nothing to talk about. I could filibuster. I could always find things to talk about. Let me look at my notes. I take constant notes about stuff. And nope, nothing. I was trying to see if there's any like religious related things. Yeah, no, I'm explaining my cat. That's number one. If anyone has any topics, throw something out there. This is an experiment. This could be awful. I don't plan on doing this again, ever. But could be awful, could be great. I actually meant to prepare a couple things just to talk about, just in case. I forgot. So, because I was trying to get, I was watching the game. It's a good game. It's Pittsburgh and, the other team, Boston. Tied at 1, going to overtime. The cat's got nothing to say. Maybe I'll call it. If you guys, F this podcast, we should be recording that soon. So I don't want to use all my jokes. Maybe I could use an F this podcast note, but we are going to record an episode someday. I got one. What is it? Are you any of those people, or do you have those Facebook friends who like subscribe to those things on Facebook that are like inspirational quotes, or not even inspirational, but just any quote? Like, they're just like any sort of just letter, like you can tell they're friends with, so they share it. And it's like, do you guys do that? Am I the only one? I'm asking you guys. I would never do that. I don't want to hear someone like, I don't want to see someone else's weird words of inspiration and just inspiration in general. Maybe I'm a turd, and I am. It's well documented. But like, I don't need a weird quote to like tell me how to feel about the day. Like, every moment is the same, just stuff like that. It's like, dude, shut up. We're all in this crappy world together. Now, at the same time, whatever. Whatever helps you. in your day. But isn't that weird? There's always those people that share those things. And they're like, so true, so true. They'll share them. And it's like, I don't get you. Okay, well, question. Does a book ever become less terrible? I don't know. I don't know the future. I'm not God. I just read the crappy crap. You know what I should do is I should check the Facebook page just in case. Someone said, someone wants to thank me. That's nice. Yeah. Andy, are you in there or no? Okay. I don't know if you're there, but, he wrote he couldn't have sound. It's true. I don't know what happened. I think I take for granted, I don't know how you guys feel about Mac versus PC, but, I had a PC forever. I still do, obviously, but I recorded on that PC most of the show. It's only been recently that I've started using this Mac. And I've always been told, like, oh, Macs are just so much better for recording. Macs are so much better for the sound, just everything. It's just easy. So, like, I think I got a little cocky with the Mac, you know. I was like, oh, this thing can handle anything. And that's why my sound wasn't working this time. I was experimenting for F This Podcast, actually, to be able to get the sound to work for Sam so that he could hear, like, what's coming from the computer, which is actually the only thing in the world that's worse on a Mac than on a PC. It doesn't work. It's weird. So I was doing a bunch of different crazy input stuff and, like, messing with sound, using multiple sound inputs. And I think that's why I had the video set for built-in microphone. And it's just like, nah, not going to do it. I won't do it. Oh, man. Good times. What was I just talking about? Oh, I did a terrible, boring Facebook one. Let's see. I could complain about a number of things, but man, I don't have my note. Shoot, I had Bible notes, but they're on the other computer. Debate notes. Are those on the... Let me check if I can get to them on this. Oh, someone commented. Oh, I see. Thank you for telling me you're in. I wish I had prepped more. Ah, here we go. I know what I want to do. Cosmological argument. Here we go. Let's get into some... This isn't funny. Is anyone interested in, like, apologetics and stuff? Because let me... I know what I can do. I know what I can tell you guys. I got a good story. Okay. Forget everything else. Forget everything that just happened. A while back, I don't know how you guys are. Maybe you're like me, because I'm assuming you're all atheists or near enough. And maybe you have families who are religious. Well, the women in my family are religious. The men are not. Although my dad, as I've talked about on F This a little bit, he's just as bad. He's like conservative. He buys 100% into Fox News. He's really into Fox News. Yet he's not religious. He's an atheist, but I think he just really wants to be religious or something, you know? Like he really buys into that. And he really enables it. Sorry, I'm trying to keep track of all these different things. Okay, I just can't type. Oh, Andy Gonzalez. Okay, thanks, got it. Can't type, but, thanks for listening and thanks for the thank you. Yeah, I'm doing my can. But anyway, this is a story that I think maybe some people can relate to when you have religious families. And so I for the longest time, I was saved by the fact that, you know, old people don't use technology. So I had Facebook, you know, I'm going way back, and then your family kind of slowly, the older people in your family start to get on Facebook. And then you're left with the question, like, shoot, do I have to be Facebook friends with my family? And eventually I was, and I got the privacy figured out so they wouldn't see anything, but I was getting really sick of it because my sister and her husband, who I love, like, they're great. And my mom and my little sister, they're super Catholic and they're really arrogant about it. It just governs their entire lives, you know. It just everything from how they're raising their kids. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm a Catholic. No, whatever. Like they are freaking Catholic. Like they're really Catholic. And it governs a lot of how they talk about stuff, their politics, like how they argue, you know, about stuff. So the point is, it's not something I can just avoid, you know? And really, I mean, I could just never see them. And I already hardly see them because, you know, we're not, our family's not that close. You know, we're not one of those families that's always hanging out. Anyway, the point of this is I finally one day decided I was just sick of it. It was after the, oh, yeah, it was after all the kids were killed, the friggin' shooting, you know. And I was just so sick of seeing everyone praying. Whatever, you know, try to be tolerant of that, that's the way they want to do it. If you want to pray, you know, I guess. But at the same time, if you're praying thinking that does something in place of actually donating or doing something, then that's a little frustrating. It's like a way of having it both ways, don't you guys think? I mean, you can say like, oh yeah, I'm praying for you and just do nothing else. And then you feel like I really did something. But anyway, I was a little upset by that whole thing. You know, as who wasn't upset by a bunch of kids getting murdered? And I just posted, I didn't post something. I tried to be diplomatic about it and say like, instead of praying to a God who already let this happen, why not, you know, give here, I said, you know, something like that. I did some practical thing, like here's what you can actually do, or you know, that kind of thing. And so my sister, and I was so mad about it, I decided to take the filter off so that my family could see, you know. And I was like, just screw it, they're gonna see it, I don't care, you know. And so sure enough, my sister commented and was like, people don't pray to God for everything to go right, you know, like that's theology 101 or something. And granted, she has, you know, a like a sophisticated religion, in that she's probably, you know, she's smart and her husband's smart. They probably have a bit more sophistication in what they do. But what? I heard something. Anyway, she left that sarcastic comment like, people don't pray for everything to be good. That's an obvious reply to the problem of evil, which is, you know, why if God is good, why is, you know, why do you pray? My question was, what are you praying for? What could you possibly be praying for in that situation? God already let a bunch of children be murdered, so that's done. We got that. That's can't, they're not coming back. What are you praying like, hey, in the future, don't let this happen or whatever. So she leaves that thing. So this initiated a big, kind of a debate and went back and forth. I was like, I'm pretty sure you do pray for good things to happen. And then I said, prayer is pointless because if you pray to God, like, please save my child, and it's not God's will. Well, then you're asking God to change his will, and he's perfect. So why would he do that? He has his will. But if it already is his will, then why are you praying? So it's useless. In any case, either God's made up his mind. Well, God, this is stupid to even say that because God can't have like a changed mind. You know, he's God. He's just omnipotent, all-knowing, like bam, just he's just a thing. God already happened in all times, by the way. But anyway, just the idea that you're praying, like, you're either praying and he's already going to do what he's going to do because he's God, or you're praying to have him change his mind, which he's just not going to do. You know, it's either already his will or it's not. There's no, it makes no sense. So that was my frustration with it. And so we started having a debate. And so eventually she said, you know, well, let's take this off of my comment. You know, it was all comments back and forth on something on that initial post. And she said, you know, let's maybe I can say, she said like, oh, it seems like you're really dedicated to materialism. Maybe that's a problem. The debate kind of evolved, you know. And eventually I was like, she said, maybe I'll send you some stuff. And I said, yeah, sure. Send me, you know, if you want to send me some philosophers to read or whatever you want, you know, whatever you want to send me, I'll read. Because I can't, a lot of times, you know, she'll appeal to like, oh, there's arguments, you know, Aristotle, like, you know, that kind of thing. Just they figure it all out, you know. If there's arguments why there's a soul and stuff. Those are just taken for granted, you know? And she'll oftentimes do that. And I said, well, I can't really respond to that, but if you give me anything specific, like if you want to send me an argument to look at, I can look at it, you know? And it's pretty easy, you know, even if you're, you know, like I don't think I'm a genius or something, but the great thing about being an atheist is that you just win because you know, like, there's no God, that's obvious. Or at least if that's not obvious, the religions are obviously stupid. So like you already know you have an upper hand. It's like someone's betting, it's like someone's trying to fight you and they have no arms. And it's you just keep talking like, oh, the other guy's like, I'm gonna trash you, man. I'm gonna trash you. You're like, okay, I mean, you don't have any arms. I mean, they're like, no, I know it's technique, like I know, I've learned all this ancient stuff. Like, all right, man, but you don't have arms, so throw something at me. Like, go ahead and give me your best shot. Like a punching contest with a guy with no arms. So, like, no matter how much they talk, no matter how much shit they talk, or like confusing words or arguments or philosophers they want to bring up, it's like the bottom line is like I know I'm right. There's no way I'm not. So I'll take on anything, and I'll figure it out. Or if I can't figure out the counter argument, then it'll be interesting. I'm happy to read a new argument or something, which there it never is. But or I'm gonna learn something because I'll Google it and I'll find someone smarter than me who's already figured out why the argument doesn't work. So months go by. She doesn't send me anything, and I was like, because when was someone want to look up? When was that disaster? Was that around Christmas? I can't remember. Was it after that? If you want to look it up, I don't remember the timeline on this. Not important. Anyway, well, kind of somewhat important. But months go by. I figure out she forgot. She's not going to send me anything. And then she finally sends me something. She sends me this guy, this author. I don't know if I can find it. Well, I can't find it for reasons that I'll have to. They are sort of the end of this story. So I'll try to get to that in a minute. She sends me some author who's this modern day apologist who talks about the cosmological argument. Basically saying, why is there something rather than nothing? First cause kind of stuff, basic stuff that you see all the time. And one point that he made that was interesting, which I'm trying to find here in my notes. She sends me that, basically, is the point of the story. And oh, there it is. No, I don't know. Anyway, she sends me that, and so I typed up a long response right away because I was just like, "Oh, great! I can argue a million things with this." And then I. Yeah, it's just, oh, okay. It's oddly timed. Yeah, your comments are behind. Sorry. And then I typed it, and then I sort of left it for editing, because I type a bunch of stuff, and I was like, I don't want to just send this. And then time got away from me, and before I knew it, it had actually like some time, maybe a month had gone by, and I forgot about this thing. And I finally sent it several months later. I don't know if it was several. Hers was several months. Mine was probably like a month, maybe a month and a half, something like that. Anyway, I send her this thing with all these reasons, which maybe I'll go through, why I don't think the cosmological argument does anything. And then the other day, like a couple weeks ago, and I figured whatever, she can take that. And basically, okay, sorry, I'll find what I left it for. Since why did not? I find it funny. It's first cause. All right. Oh, man, I'm having a hard time finding where I said stuff. I thought I knew it. But these arguments. Oh, here it is. Oh, I got it. There's his name is Feser, FESER. And there's a part where he argues for the first cause, right? And my point was like, well, the first cause, if you want to say that there's a first cause, that's fine, but that could easily just be laws. Like what, how can you just assume that's a god? Basically hurt, first cause argument. I don't know if that was cosmological, same thing. I don't know. First cause argument. And so I said, okay, that this was just one facet. And I said, Feser says at some point says, here's a quote from Feser. He says, of course, there's arguments for why the being is a benevolent, or why the first cause is a being and benevolent. And Feser said, of course, an atheist might try to rebut these various arguments, but to pretend that they don't exist, that is to say, to pretend, as so many do, that defenders of the cosmological argument typically make an undefended leap from there's a first cause to there is a cause of the world that is all powerful, all knowing, is once again simply to show that one doesn't know what one is talking about. Oh, so clever. One doesn't know what one is talking about. So he says, atheists can argue that the first cause is not a being, but to say that religious people make no argument about it is just, that's just BS. And he doesn't defend these arguments. So I said to her, to my sister, I said, well, this is kind of the crux of the matter. I mean, I'll admit that if you define things a certain way, there's some first cause. I don't think we have any way of knowing about any of this, but I will admit that in some sense, there's a first cause because the universe did come to existence. And I think it's probably laws or, you know, a set, something outside of our universe, even though that term doesn't make sense because space is a property of our universe, but something outside of that realm, maybe we'd have known nothing about that. So there could be laws that make it such that universes pop in and out of existence all the time, or it could be anything. It could be anything. We don't know. But anyway, I said, I think that if the crux of this is those arguments that say it's a being, you know, how do you get to that? How do you get? And so I said, you know, maybe that's where we need to go next. If you want to, after I, you know, dismantled all that other stuff, in my opinion, you know, dismantled that argument, I said, if you want to say that it's a being, that's the important part. That's the important claim. I'll grant you the first cause crap. Like, yeah, it can't be an uncaused cause, whatever. I'll just grant you all that. Sure. There has to be a first cause, but how is it a being, a benevolent being? They always jump to that. There's good reason to believe it's a benevolent personal God. Like, how are you getting to that? That's a very human thing to go from there's a first cause to it's a person that like wants to talk to us and stuff. Like, that's craziness. So that's what I said. And so some time goes by, a while goes by. I'll do Addison. Thanks for the contribution. You're probably right. I'm trying to, yeah, I'll look at that in a second. I'm trying to get through this story for now, but thanks for the contribution. So some time goes by, and then I notice, I just thought of it, the something, for some reason I needed to look my sister up. I think I was going to message her or something. I can't remember. And I go to type her in, and we're not Facebook friends anymore. And it's one of those things. It's like, what? How? What? What's going on here? How? My own sister, who I still talk to, and I've talked to since I discovered this, somehow we're not Facebook friends. So like, I don't even know what to think now. You know, it's like I guess that debate's over. We're not allowed to have that debate. You know, and I don't know if maybe I let my Facebook filter, maybe I messed it up and posted something she didn't like, but my mom and my other sister are still friends with me on there. And like, there's also this function. It's a very easy function. Cat's making some noise. Sorry. Called just hide. She could just hide me from the feed. She could just, it's such a passive aggressive thing, because she could hide me from the feed and never tell me if she wanted to. She could just use Facebook to message me occasionally and say, hey, I have another kid, you know, or something like that. Some message like that. Like, hey, I just popped out another kid because I'm Catholic and I have infinity kids. No, I love her kids. They're great. But still, something like that, you know, and I would never be the wiser. She wanted to just hide, never see any of my posts, which I already thought I hid her from, by the way. I'm pretty sure I did, because like I said, my mom and my sister. But no, she has to do she has to unfriend me so that I'd find it someday. And then what? I don't know. Cause we've, like I said, I've gone over to her house since then and to her house since then. And, you know, we had celebrations for the kids or whatever, birthdays or something. And, you know, everything's fine. So isn't that weird, guys? Like, I thought we were having this philosophical debate and it seemed like she was down, you know, it seemed like she was whatever. She gave me something. I gave her my response. I didn't lie. I wasn't insulting. I just wrote a ton about it and how it's, I don't think it's compelling and all this, all these reasons. And I said, and I gave like, here's where the debate could go next. You know, you could provide the arguments of why it's a being, you know, even if I grant you all the first cause stuff and then we can go from there, you know? And so we're not Facebook friends. How funny is that? And I don't know what to do. It's been a couple of weeks. I forgot about to, because it's not a high priority for me. We're not, like I said, we're not close. My family. We like each other. We don't hate each other. We're just not close. And when they're, so much of their life revolves around religion, it kind of sucks. Like, you can't really be that close, you know? Like, they go to mass every day. They do. They're in. They're all in. So, so Addison, you're saying the first cause can be dismissed as special pleading. Do you care to be, if you care to be more specific on that, No point in going further if the foundation of the argument is based on a fallacy. Possibly. If you care to elaborate on the first cause being special pleading, I'd love it. I'd love to read it. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm not totally sure exactly what you mean. Because I'll buy into, okay. I'm not gonna go on too much longer because I don't know how if anyone's tuned out of this or if this is interesting or whatever. Because this is a Bible podcast. So sorry, podcast listeners. I'm not gonna be offended if you skip to the next one. I really don't care. I just thought I'd do a something because I didn't want to broadcast a 10-minute episode. Anyway, what was I gonna say? Oh yeah. At one point I think is funny about the first cause argument is that they always say the first assertion is always, well, anything which comes into existence. A lot of another thing they do. Okay, sorry, I'm digressing, but a lot of thing that one guy on YouTube, William James Bryan, William Lane Craig, likes to do is to say, well, the discovery that the I wish I could do an impersonation of him. His voice is just so annoying. Okay, Addison. Okay, pause from that. Addison says, if everything requires a cause, then God requires a cause too. Sure, but what was the argument for that? What caused God? They say that that's the first one that Fieser says, every atheist says, and they define it as any eternal thing. Actually, this ties into what I was just going to say. They say an eternal thing doesn't need a cause necessarily because it's eternal. But anything that's contingent, they say, anything that begins to exist must have a cause. So Addison, you kept going, but that is the response, and I think that's valid in a sense. But what I was going to say, which I think is interesting, is I don't know where they get this information that everything that comes into existence must have a cause, because as humans, we've witnessed zero things come into existence. All we witness are different combinations of things. And this kind of might not be true depending on how you look at, quantum theory and things popping in and out. It might be. But really we just see combinations of things, but we use that logic and think it applies to everything. So we think like, well, this peanut butter sandwich I just made, it's contingent. It has to have a cause. It can't just come out of nowhere. It's like, well, yeah, but you just rearranged all those things. That's not something coming from nothing. We have no examples of something coming from nothing, in the sense that they mean, which I'm gonna go ahead and leave out quantum physics and all that weird stuff because I'm not qualified to talk about it. And they that maybe that maybe it is true that that's something coming from nothing, but since there is something, but anyway. Well, breadsticks, they did prove the universe is an et we know the universe is an eternal. It came to be with the Big Bang. Okay, so you're saying the special pleading is that God is a special case that doesn't require a cause. Well, like I said, they're saying anything eternal doesn't require a cause because it's just always there or something, which you might be right. You might be right. But I think there's a part of their argument that's worth engaging in because if you just say, special pleading, then they're going to say, well, they didn't answer the argument. So I tend to try to grant them as many things as I can because, like I said, when you're fighting a no-armed boxer, you really can just make all kind really the whole idea of God and all this religion stuff is so manufactured. There are so many facets of it that are just completely artificial that you can grant like 1,000 things and still the 1,001th thing is stupid and makes no sense. Like I can grant say, yeah, sure, eternal things need no cause. That's fine. Then you just say, well, couldn't the eternal thing be laws? Could very easily, couldn't. And another thing I was saying is like, couldn't the eternal thing be like three gods, or like a bunch of people? Maybe there's some eternal people. Like if you're going to speculate about something, some realm that you have no access to, just none, we have no information about this. And you're going to say it's one God. He's all powerful. He knows everything. He loves us. He's like, you're making all those assertions. even if you say, even if we grant them, like I said, be generous to this no armed boxer, whatever, what, sure, you want to, what, it's like the boxer, like, oh, sure, I'll wear gloves that have like 8 feet of padding on them. Sure. No armed boxer. I'll do that. Yeah, whatever. I'll wear, sure. I'll tie one behind my back and I'll, you know, we could grant them a ton of things. Because it still makes no sense. How are you getting that this realm that we know nothing about? Is it one all powerful? Where are you getting this all powerful from? That's another thing they always do. Well, he created everything we know. He must be all powerful. He created the universe. Yeah, or maybe whatever realm that's in, maybe it's not hard to create a universe, you know, or something. I don't know. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying there are a million things that satisfy the conditions that they leave down, you know, that they give us. Like, well, maybe whatever's outside of our universe, maybe it's just a multiverse. Maybe thing, you know, just has laws, and from those laws, things can happen, you know, and those laws are eternal. Or maybe, like I said, maybe it's several gods. Maybe it's a bunch of gods. Maybe it's a god that doesn't care about us at all, that just made us, you know, the idea that that gets you anywhere near religion is just ridiculous. So what was I saying? Oh, but I was saying we use this logic that we've, and logic is great, but Sam Harris was writing a few years back. I'm not going to remember specifically what it was, but he was saying that it's possible that logic itself will need adjusting because of quantum physics, because there are things that just logic doesn't apply to. And logic is man-made, but it does work, but it's possible that it's evolved from this everything, you know, what humans are used to living in, you know? So when we get to quantum physics and things that we just didn't evolve to be in, Jero, I think I actually have seen that 2D land, the cosmos with the, you know, with what's his name? Carl Sagan, right? I think I have seen that. That's pretty cool. Anyway. Yeah. So we're using this logic. And the quick point I was going to make is that this whole, something that comes into existence must have a cause. That just comes from your tangible experience with things that have to, like, you do things and they have causes. They don't cause themselves. But we have no examples of things coming from nothing. The universe is coming from nothing to shape this logic around. You know, you can't say, like, well, you know, whenever a universe comes from nothing, it has to have a cause. Then you're just begging the question, right? Because that's the only example we have. We have one example, and that's the creation of this universe. We don't have a bunch of cases of, like, well, one time something came into being over here and it had a cause, we don't have no examples except the universe. So that was all I was going to say. So let's see, the best first cause argument can get to is deism. Right. Yeah. Addison, I agree. And I don't even think it can get there. Like I said, it might be multi-deism. I don't know. Does deism allow for multiple gods or for, you know, pagan deism? Depaganism? I don't know those terms, but I thought deism was just one, like, there is a being or something, but I could be wrong on the precise definition. But I do agree, if you grant everything, it still doesn't get you anywhere. But as Fieser would say, that still leaves, and I thought this was one good point Fieser made, and I was trying to find it earlier. I can't find it in this text. I wrote so much text on this. The one good point he did make was that if you want to grant deism, it still leaves atheism out of the picture. Like, if the argument proves deism, we still do need to address it, because then that means it's just a question of which God, right? Like, if the argument gets you to deism, and I'm not saying it does, but from his point of view, we can't just say, well, that just gets you to deism. Because then they could say, like, oh, okay, so you want to, like, look for which God is the right one with me or something, you know. We can do better than that, is all I'm saying. That's kind of what I meant. Universe being eternal, multiverses. Yeah, our universe is definitely not eternal. So yeah, I see what you mean. But there could be something outside of it that is. Or I mean, I'm not an expert. I like to read a lot about this topic. So if anyone knows more than me, well, I'm sure you all do, but a lot of people know more about the physics and stuff. I'm pretty sure we know that the Big Bang was the origin of our universe and it didn't exist before the Big Bang. I mean, maybe you could make some argument that it's a constant expansion retraction, but I don't think that the evidence bears that out now. I think at one time that could have been a theory, but with like dark matter acceleration of everything and all that. I think that's kind of been ruled out. But if you guys, you know, if you have better info and want to correct me, then go ahead. But I think the multiverse thing, if you wanted to say something outside of the universe could be eternal, then yeah, I agree. God speaking. I don't understand that. Sorry. I like it when they use the same argument that the universe came from nothing but God speaking. I got it now. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, how does God cause anything? You know, how does he, you know, it still comes from nothing. If you want to say like he just talked it into existence. Like, how does he do that? Yeah, because you need a framework, right? Like, even if you grant that there's some sort of God, it's like a builder. We should use their annoying analogies they use. Well, a sculptor, you know, if they always say that, like, well, if you came across a sculpture, you would say that, oh, there's a sculptor who did this. If you come across a painting, you say there's a painter. Yeah, but they had a medium with which to work, right? They had clay or paint or canvas, you know, like, you would have to grant that that existed prior to God creating something on it, right? I'd never thought about that before. That's kind of a good point, Jero, maybe. I mean, I was just thinking about this now, but, well, I mean, you can cheat and say, well, God created that canvas, but what did he create that out of? You know, you can't just, that's true. Like, he can't just do something out of nothing. He has to have something to work with, right? Or maybe not. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I was trying to run with Jero 1369's point. It's a good year, by the way. Yeah, but I don't even want to say. So he says we could grant deism, then say it's a clockwork universe, i.e. God started it and then left. Yeah, we could, but we don't even need to do that, is all I'm saying. We can't engage the argument and say that it doesn't even get you there, you know. So I don't know how much I'm having a good time with you guys. And let's see. I've gone about the length of an episode, so. If anyone, I'll wait a few seconds here for any last comments, but I think I'm going to call it. Sorry for the little bit of aimlessness there in the middle. I meant to prepare something and got caught up with that hockey game, which I still don't know who won. But anyway, yeah, hopefully this was interesting, and thanks a lot for, you know, supporting the show, coming into the chat and everything, and thank you for your contributions. And I guess I'll call it. And I don't know, as far as next time goes, if it's still all genealogies. I haven't checked. I think there might be one more chapter of genealogy at the least. But I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if it's a bunch more. I might just, yeah, I don't want to do this every time. I think people get pretty tired of it. And it's not really what the show is advertised to be. I was trying to follow that comment, flat, sharp. There could be nothing before or after the universe. We can only say for certain that reality only exists in the universe. Not totally sure I follow that. Yeah, not disagreeing or anything. I don't... nothing before... Yeah, I mean, we can only say for sure. I mean, we can only talk for sure about this universe. Oh, well, that's true. The Big Bang gets to a point where... the Big Bang gets to a point where we can say nothing about what happened before it. So, but I, my question is, I don't know if that rules out whether or not you could say that it could be expanding and contracting, but once it gets to that contracted part, you lose all the information, you know, I don't know, but you can't say for sure. So that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And Lawrence Krauss, I love Lawrence Krauss's lecture. I've watched a bunch of them. And it actually morphed over time. Interesting enough, I was searching this. There's one he gave, I want to say it's in Sweden, and it was a QA. I just watched it recently. And it sort of changed how I was thinking about this, because at first he in his book, he stuck to the argument of like, this is nothing. Something is coming from nothing. And he went with, and I thought it was interesting because he said like, how do you define nothing? I'll try to make this fast because this episode's going long already. He says, how do you define nothing? You know, everyone tries to define nothing and they can't do it, blah, blah, blah. You have to read the book to get the argument. I'm not going to be able to summarize it. And so I was like, oh, that is interesting. So he is proving that the universe comes from nothing, sort of. That's what at least I thought that was how he understood it. But then if you watch this talk that he gave in Sweden somewhat recently, and there was a debate following it, He actually retreats from that a little bit and does acknowledge that it requires something, I believe. If it was interesting, and but he said that it doesn't matter, and that, how did he say it? I don't know. You guys should watch. Go find that one if you want to, because he did in the Q&A that he had. Just search his recent talks, and there's one that's a Q&A. It should be obvious. It's a Q&A, not with the audience, but with like a panel. He did seem to retreat from that. Like, he didn't say that is absolute nothing. But anyway, okay. But I don't want to get into that. That would take longer to get to put a finer point on all that. But I did think it was interesting. So if you're a fan of Krauss and you haven't seen that, check that one out, because it did change how I think about it. Still valid, but anyway, it changed it. So, okay. So from all of us here at me and my cat, who's lying on my bed. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, he's a cat. Thanks for coming, supporting the show. Thanks for listening. And I will see you next week. Hopefully it'll be better. See you guys later.